give a big South County welcome to one of our own, Annie H. from Nipomo.
Good evening, I'm Annie and I'm an alcoholic.
Oh,
I'd like to thank Brenda for asking me to be here this evening and speaking to you. I would like to have a round of applause for everybody who works to make this happen. It really is something that I enjoy every month. You do a great job, and I'm really blessed to be able to come here. And this evening, I got to bring my husband with me. He's not an alcoholic, so he doesn't normally go to meetings with me, but I asked him to please come tonight. I can talk in front of my husband now about my alcoholism in a very honest manner. I drank, I got drunk. I walked off an unlit loading dock, fell 8 feet in the dark, and landed on a concrete parking stop with my face. I was rendered unconscious and not breathing. People tell me this because I walked right out. I asked directions. I was visiting a friend in Rhode Island, and we decided to go to Martha's Vineyard. And while we were over there, we got really smashed that first night. And of course, since evidently the waitress thought I was the most sober and most logical, she asked us to please leave. So the next day, we go and we get up and we tour the island, and I am extremely hungover. And she's not one to have a drink, but I don't want to drink in front of her because, you know, then she's going to think I drink more than she does because I'm that insane. And basically what happened is that night, we went to dinner, we went to another club for a little bit, and then we went up to this dance club, and I asked the bartender for directions to the bathroom, and he said, it's down that way, you can't miss it, and I missed it. So I actually walked off about an eight-foot drop of a wingspan, and I was trying to find the door, and there was an exit sign above me like that green one right there, but it was red, and all that was lit barely was the top of the eye. So I just didn't know. So anyway, I walked off that, was rendered unconscious and not breathing, and I spent 8 years fighting them, the establishment there, because it was everybody else's fault. Everything was always everybody else's fault. You know, my dad used to tell me, Anne Marie, you are really difficult to have a conversation with. And he's like, with you, it's your way or the highway, and you know, you're making your life a lot harder than it needs to be, honey girl. He used to call me his baby doll. I'm the youngest of six children, plus I have three stepsisters. And I grew up in a household where my father, I believe, was a heavy drinker. My mother suffered from addiction to prescription drugs, and she would drink it, and she couldn't have more than a couple drinks, and she was gone. But the prescription drugs she did a lot of, and so I never knew what was going to happen, just like nobody ever knew what was going to happen with me. I'm a blackout drinker. When I drink, I keep moving. I've been to jail twice. I'm not proud to say that, but I have been. After the second time, I had totaled my car, which had not had quite a year, and it, weird stuff ends up. The insurance company paid me more than I paid for it. But I went to jail, and I learned when I got out of there that I was just going to take the car out of the equation. I caught a taxi and said, please take me to Trader Joe's. So the guy took me, I lived in the Bay Area at the time, so he drove me to Campbell. And he said, I went to the ATM, I got money, I did that whole nine yards, paid him, got my drink, had to get my stuff going on. I know I just skipped something there. But I will tell you, when I was 18, I was diagnosed with cancer. I have a rare blood disease that they still haven't figured out, and I'm 57. I have dealt with cancer more often than not for the last 39 and a half years. I tell you this because it's been my life experience. I started doing this on my own because I was pissed at my family when I was diagnosed at 18, the hell I was going to tell any of them anything. It was just not going to happen. I was so angry with my family. And so I didn't tell them for years, and they found out through my old boyfriend at a pharmacy I used to work for in Santa Monica where I grew up. So I got a call from my sister who says, you didn't tell me you had cancer. And I'm like, oh dear, here it is. And you know, so anyway, that goes on. However, I did have 2 years and 2 months of complete remission. And unfortunately, but yet fortunately, in April, they told me my blood cancer had returned and that I had two brain tumors, one of which was inoperable. And they couldn't even tell what it was. So I freaked out. and called my sponsor and did the things that I was taught to do. And, you know, my sponsor took me to have brain surgery. I had cyberknife surgery. And she took me up and she brought me back. I have people that do things for me in this program that is amazing. Because I always wanted everybody to do everything for me because, don't you know, I just wanted to have my booze and whatever all the time because I needed alcohol. I had so much in my system all the time that I could not not drink and I could not not stop shaking either. It's called the DTs and delirium tremens, and it is written in our book. The first 100, I brought this bag up with me because this is a bag that I keep in my car or in the house every night. And in this bag, you will find my favorite thing that I've found in this entire world, my big book. I also have step work in here, my 12 and 12, a bottle of water, a pen, all sorts of stuff. But this is what I travel with. This is my big book. This is where I learn. This is where I go to say, how do I deal with this situation? I am not a perfect human being. So with this cancer diagnosis this year, my mother-in-law lives in town and my husband takes care of his mother quite a bit. And I've been going to Stanford for a long time and we moved from there 8 years ago to here. And they have taken really good care of me up there and they know when I drink because they test my blood. You know, they don't tell me that, but I found that out the last time I was there. And that's okay, you know, I need to be held accountable. When I'm not held accountable, I'm in deep trouble, and I start listening to my own thoughts. And, you know, first thought wrong, when somebody said that, I was like, wow, I understand that. When I first got here in 2007, I lived in the Bay Area. I'd had a couple DUIs. I'd been to a couple institutions. I was a mess. I was a wreck. I had cancer at the time, but I also was drinking a handle a day and the whole nine yards and taking all this medication because I was put on a pain cocktail because I walked off that unloading dock when I was 31. And I thought that's what I needed to do. And I'm really very, very, very lucky to be sitting here or standing up here tonight talking to you. I think we all are. If you are new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd like to welcome you home. If you think you don't belong here, if you got a court card, if your wife, husband, brother, sister, aunt, uncle tells you you need to do something about it, stick around for 90 days and see if your life doesn't change. Get a sponsor. Get a big book. Go to some meetings. You're just talking to us. We're not going to go tell your business to other people because we didn't want anybody else telling our business. These are things I have sponsees. I have sponsees that have stayed with me. This is the part that's made me nervous about talking tonight. But this is who I am. So I was going back and forth to Stanford. And I was taking myself sometimes, and sometimes my friends would take me or my husband or whatnot. And I got into that place where we are no longer a we. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives were unmanageable. That is intended in front of each step. It's an indication that we do this. I am a team player. When I start doing I, self, me, as an ism, I get into trouble. So I had to go up to Stanford because they had the only machine to deal with this particular thing that I needed done with my brain. And I asked a friend that I got sober with if I could stay at her house. She said, she talked to her husband, and I did, and I went up there. And for 5 days, they radiated the back of my frontal lobe, and then they told me that Friday night that they actually had missed the tumor and had been just frying the back of my frontal lobe. And they were really sorry, and it was time for me to go home, and that my bone cancer had returned, because I have three primary cancers. And I had somebody there. There's this whole perfect storm of alcoholism, and I picked up this friend of mine who I've known for 22 years, who happens to be one of my doctors, who was drunk. It was the first time she'd ever been drunk. She found out that her husband had a whole family in India, and so anyway, the bar called me because it was the only number. She asked me to pick her up, so I brought her to the house where I was staying. What he didn't know is she brought alcohol with her. I was in a very, very weakened state, and I called my sponsor every night and cried, and it was just during the day, and I was so miserable, and I couldn't think straight, and I poured myself a drink, and I drank it, and I poured myself a second one, and I looked in that glass after I took the first sip, and I went, oh my God, what am I doing? This is not what I do. This is what I do. This is what I'm doing. I have to be honest. So I went out in the back, and I
smashed the glass, and I cleaned it all up, and I packed all my stuff up, and I left, because that's what I do. I run. I'm a runner. And I still do that sometimes. You know, I've been around here for a while. I did have a relapse in 2013 when I had a back surgery because I felt entitled, and I didn't, you know, it was that was me. I got to learn from my mistakes there. And this one just hit me really hard because I really thought I had changed and learned from my first relapse. But I did learn from my first relapse. I only had a drink. I came back. I had tried calling my sponsors beforehand. I had tried doing these things. And people didn't answer. It was getting 10:30, 11 at night. And, you know, it's flat out, I took a drink. I'm an alcoholic. So I have a sobriety date that is now September 1st, 2019. And I wasn't really sure if I should be speaking up here tonight because my story does have relapse in it. But I'm an alcoholic through and through. I think like an alcoholic. I can act like an alcoholic. But I come here and I take the steps and have a sponsor who loves me and adores me. And I have three sponsors because I have a sponsor from another group. And I have two sponsors in AA because mine moved to Tennessee a couple years ago. So I have somebody here that I'm accountable to because I know if I'm not accountable where I live to somebody else other than myself and my husband and God, but that person that I need that understands my alcoholism, that feeds me, that pulls stuff out of me, I'm so grateful for. And so thank you for letting me speak tonight. I don't know how long I talked, but anyway, I love AA and I love being here. And I have sponsees that actually stayed with me, and that baffles me because I was always told that tell your sponsees you drink and they needed to find someone new, but my sponsor said maybe I should leave it up to them because they'd been my sponsee for 4 years. And they decided to stay. That was God. That wasn't me. This is all God. So bless you all. Thank you.
Let's give Annie another round of applause.